What is up? Good evening. You are listening to episode 10, our 10 episode anniversary of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, Billy Gunn, the host of the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United podcast network. And tonight's guest is our first ever repeat guest in that he was on an episode with us earlier this year, and he's our first guest that's come back. When you met him last time, you learned that he and I were like brothers in COVID and that we caught the same exact strain of COVID. And he was homeless due to a hurricane. But now the homeless has returned to his home. And our guest, Troy, has returned to Taking the Over. Troy, what's up, man?
Hey, Senior Gunn. Thank you for having me back. I'm happy to be back with my mediocre sports knowledge and to bring you some luck, because I think you did well last time, right?
Yeah, the last time you were on the show, I went 9-2, and that was awesome. And we're coming off of a 5-1 last week. That's right. It's a celebration. We had a fantastic week of wagering last week. Now at 42-25-1 with my picks of the pod overall. That's 61.7%. That's what the fancy professionals do, Troy.
You know, there's a lot of darkness out there right now, and I feel like you're bringing joy to the world by making people money.
Dude, I hope that they experience some sliver of the joy and money-making that I did this past week. It was a good weekend. We needed it, man. I picked the winner of a golf tournament. I'm getting soccer games. I had a crazy bad beat on a MLS game on Monday night at the same time as Monday Night Football. Like, everybody else is watching Monday Night Football, I'm watching freaking garbage MLS. And the team that I needed, that I had, like, huge underdog, was up 2-0, and they managed in the last 15 minutes of the soccer game to lose 3-2. That's rare. That doesn't happen very often. But that's like the equivalent of like a 28-3 meltdown in MLS soccer. But that was standing. Everything was awesome, man. Really, really happy. 5-1 last week, 42-25-1 overall. If you don't believe me, just listen to the pod. That's all you got to do. We've got back episodes. You can go back. We've got 10 whole episodes. Troy, what do you think about this show making it 10 episodes?
I feel like I'm part of a milestone here that I'm gracious to you for letting me be a part of it. There's some intriguing stuff out there this week. I like a lot of dogs, I think.
Ooh, yeah. No, we're going to have a great week of picking the games. I'm excited about this week's lineup as well. It feels like we have football every week or every day of the week almost coming off this last week. And so it's just been a football extravaganza. But, man, before we get started with the picks, I want to talk to you about the biggest breaking news that happened outside of the world of football all week long. And it was released. It was a article that came out late last week about the Israeli security chief of Israeli Space Force for like the last 30 years. Yes. Came out and said that not only are aliens real, that there's an intergalactic federation that we are a part of, and both Israel, the United States, and Donald Trump specifically are aware of this existence, that there's a moon base on Mars. There's a moon base on Mars, and that the aliens convinced Trump not to go forward public with their existence. Sure, that's big news. Now, this scientist, this longtime scientist, also did mention that he has a book coming out, and there's more information on it in the book. Full disclosure, I've tried to purchase the book. You Google the title of the book, and the article about him writing a book comes up rather than the book. Well, so it's kind of a hard to find book.
So is he implying that the aliens are benevolent, that they would, you know,
Not only that, he's saying that the aliens are cautious.
It sounds like they don't have any ill will towards us.
No, in fact, they want to learn more about us is what he's saying, and that, they're aliens that are worried about our feelings, in that they don't want us to come forward with the news yet. They told Trump specifically, don't let anybody know that we're real, because it's just going to be too much too soon.
You have a lot going on right now. We're just going to hold back.
Yeah, wouldn't an alien distractions be so much fun? Like, wouldn't an alien
fitting into the year? Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of make everything, you know, make everything better.
It's a fun story.
I wonder if they have COVID. Do you think they have COVID? You think they have COVID-19? You think they had to quarantine on the moon base on Mars?
Well, and I was intrigued until you said that Trump was aware of this and was convinced.
They talked Trump out of it.
Keep the news silent.
Yeah, that's the part of the story that doesn't hold up.
I found that difficult. That's aliens? Yeah, I could believe possibly there's a confederation of aliens with a moon base.
I believe that. I believe all of that. You got me so far, right?
But you tell me that Trump has this info and it hasn't just spilled out of his mouth yet? Yeah,
because the aliens asked him not to. And he complied. That's the part of the story where it gets a little weird. That's the part where it gets weird, is that Trump listened to the
Maybe aliens. He's working a real estate deal on Mars.
Oh, he's got to be a realist. I don't fault him for it. I would expect no less. Trump moon base on Mars, inside of Mars Tower.
Yeah, and golf resort.
Got to have at least a fine golf course on Mars. So I want to ask the question, and this is, let's have some fun with this. Let's make up some odds here. Okay, what are the odds that in the next 40 years aliens will reveal themselves to be real, and like world governments will acknowledge it and be like, yeah, you know, they're real, we've known about this a whole time, it's time for you to know, you know, what's the odds, what's the money line on that revelation occurring within the next 40 years?
I'm skeptical, so I'm going to say plus 550.
Plus, wow, that would be a good return. Yeah. That would be, you know, 40 years, plus 550. So you bet $100, you win at 550 on top of it.
Do books last 40 years? Could you?
I don't think I can. I mean, you're assuming that the casino is still going to be, you know, around that whatever book we got to take that, you know. Yes.
Do you will your ticket?
For purposes of this bet, absolutely, they're going to be around.
Do you will your ticket, you know, away in your will?
Yeah, you can sell it. You can like auction it off. You can will it to people. You can pass it down. Yeah. I say 40 years. I plan on living another 40 years. And so, you know, I would, you know, I'd hope during my lifetime, it would be so disappointing if aliens did not reveal themselves to be real within my lifetime. I'd be really upset by that.
I'm sorry. I'm skeptical. I don't see it.
You don't see it?
No.
I would put the odds at minus 130. I think it's happening.
I think it's happening. You're a believer.
Well, first off, Intergalactic Federation. I've heard that before. Like, that's a thing. And others. And others. You know, that's what these guys do. They wait till they're like 75 and then they write a book saying that aliens are real. And this is like, my favorite one was a guy, it's called The Day After Roswell. And it's a book that was written by like an army, a very high up guy that was present and participated in Roswell. And he, you know, he had some credibility. And I think this Israeli Space Force director of security, and he's now a professor, has some validity too. until he supposes and tells us that Trump listened to the aliens. So I was hoping that Trump would reveal aliens. I think he's still got time, and I think he should. Yeah. And hopefully that, you know, that'll be a big lasting impact of that. Well, Troy, that's it for aliens. If you'd like to participate in the alien wager picking of odds, you can follow us on Twitter at Taking the Over. Troy says +550. I say -130. The world may never know. It's just one of those that you're just going to be like basically burning your money if you were to actually place the bet. I will take those bets for any listener that wants to place the bet at my odds, not Troy. All right, so we got a big week 14 in front of us. Are you ready for that that week 14 football action?
Let's do this.
All right, good, good, good. So tomorrow night, recording this on a Wednesday night, Thursday night game is going to be the New England Patriots going to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. The Rams are 5-point favorite. The over under on this game is 44.5. Troy, do you have any thoughts on New England versus the LA Rams?
Everything I looked at kind of shies me away from this game. So when I first looked at it, it was the Rams -6. Did it start at -6 and drop to -5?
Yeah, it was minus okay. -5 as of yesterday, and okay. as of right now, it is still -5.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I trust anything in this. I don't know if I trust New England, the Rams. The defenses are good, so both are good. So that kind of steers me away from the over under. Because we don't take the under. Is that that's right?
We still don't correct? Take that's still the rule here. Yeah, we don't take unders.
Okay. I think I'm going to stay away from this one.
It'd be a nice Thursday night of not wagering on football, right? Just probably not even going to watch that game. I don't know. That's a lot going on there. I feel like I have had a lot of football, like every night almost, and tonight's the only night we haven't had football this week, and then we'll have it again tomorrow night with that game. I'm going to lay off that one, and definitely for purposes of the pod as well. Although we do have the first of our early games on Sunday is going to be the Tennessee Titans going on the road to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tennessee is a 7.5-point road favorite. Over-under on this game is 53. Troy, what you got for Tennessee and Jacksonville?
This one's pretty clear cut to me. I take Tennessee. I think the spread could be -9, even -10, and I would still take Tennessee. This might be a good teaser option, though, right?
This would be good for a teaser. I mean, you tease it down. This is one, though. I mean, Jacksonville's dangerous and Tennessee's volatile. Tennessee looked like a completely different team from the first half of that Cleveland Browns game to the second half of that Cleveland Browns game. They ended up losing, I think it was, I don't even remember the final score, but I know that Tennessee outscored Cleveland 28-3 in the second half. And that was one of like five or six games I was watching simultaneously Sunday afternoon during the 12 o'clock noon Central games. I don't feel too comfortable about Tennessee. You know, even they could slip up and lose this game. I mean, it's just crazy. Like even as a tease, I'd stay away from it. I think there's other much more palatable options out there. You know, even games that seem certain, like this past week, I know a lot of people got beat on Seattle. I was not one of those people. In fact, I had the Giants there. You know, the Jets were within a Greg Williams firing of beating Las Vegas. I mean, you had games where even like people were taking money lines on big favorites and getting shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if this was one of those games. So I'm definitely going to advocate laying off. Next early game is going to be Dallas. Dallas on the road, looking to get back on track versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, after Dallas played last night, this line has moved from Dallas -4 to Dallas -3.5. Dallas is a 3.5 point road dog, getting points against Cincinnati. Over under on this game is 43.5. Troy, what are your thoughts on Dallas and Cincinnati?
This looks like a horrible game, but I like the point total. I like the over there. So horrible defenses.
Horrible teams, you know. Bad football here, and given some better options, this isn't one I'm going to jump in. I don't know, man. Dallas is sad. I mean, they showed a little bit of life against Baltimore last night, but they also, like, every time I looked over at the screen, they were missing field goals, you know, and they had multiple misses against the Baltimore Ravens. I'm staying away from this one too. That over-under is a little low, but I don't want my life to be in the hands of Dallas and Cincinnati. You know, just don't. Next game is going to be the Arizona Cardinals on the road, going to take on the Seattle Seahawks / New York Giants. Arizona is a 2.5 point favorite in this game. Going on the over and under is 45. I've got a good read on this one. I've been rolling with the Giants. I took the Giants last week, and not only did they cover, they outright won. A laid off Seattle, and you know, when a lot of folks were going that way. Mm-hmm. Arizona has been very disappointing. They've done nothing to inspire any kind of confidence ever since the Hail Murray, which was a game they should have lost against Buffalo. They've lost ever since that game. Little Kyler Murray is a little bit banged up. I am not about this game at all, taking Arizona, but I do feel good about taking the New York Giants. In fact, just to be safe, we're going to tease that one on up to we're going to tease it up 6 points. We're going to make that part of a two game teaser. New York Giants plus 8.5, laying off the over under. Troy, what's your thoughts on Arizona against the Giants?
I agree that, yeah, this is one of the ones that stood out to me as one of the dogs. I was honestly surprised Arizona's still favored, but they lost three straight, right?
Yeah.
And the Giants are on the opposite trajectory. They won four straight, including Seattle.
The Giants don't even care who's playing quarterback. Like, it could be Sam Darnold. I'm sorry, not Sam Darnold. No, he plays for the Jets. Could be Danny Dimes, you know. Yeah. It could be Colt freaking McCoy. Yeah. Come on,
the
man.
New York football Giants, they're back. Are they leading that division?
They're part of the something. I don't really. Yes, maybe. Who knows? I think so.
I think they're tied with Washington, maybe, I think.
The NFC East is going to come down to the wire. You know it is. Yeah. I like teasing New York Giants, like giving them six there on a six-point teaser. Next early game is going to be Houston -2 on the road against the hapless Chicago Bears. The over-under on this game is 44.5. I really, really, really like taking the over on this one. This is the name of the show, the name game, Houston, Chicago, in Chicago, 44.5. Go ahead and give it to me either way. I think there's going to be some points scored in this game. Troy, what's your thoughts on Houston and Chicago?
Well, this game is gross. This is horrible. Last we spoke, the last podcast I was on, we were joking how horrible Chicago was and how announcers were arguing to bring back Trubisky. Well, he came back.
Yeah, right? He did. He did eventually come back, and he looks like Trubisky, and Chicago still sucks. You know,
they lost six straight.
Yeah. Bad stuff's happening. Bad stuff's happening there. I mean, Houston's had some struggles too, but I think you're going to get into a shootout. Even with the elements of Chicago, I definitely feel very good about 44.5 on this game. Taking the over there.
Okay, I trust you.
Their next game is going to be. I'm glad you do. How much do you trust me? The next game, early game on Sunday, the Denver Broncos on the road taking on the Carolina Panthers with the returning Eddie McCaffrey. Carolina's 3.5-point favorites. 47 is the over-under on this game. This would be the other part of my early game teaser. I really like teasing Carolina plus six and rolling with this one. I just, Carolina's volatile. They're up and down, but I think having Eddie McCaffrey back really helps them out. Being at home really helps them out. Denver has been through so much. I mean, they looked game in their game against Kansas City this past week, but it seems like everybody looks game against Kansas City when they're a garbage team. Like, Kansas City is definitely playing down. I call them no cover KC. We're going to get to talking about them later, but I feel very comfortable with Carolina and definitely putting it on that teaser with the Giants on that one. Troy, what's your thoughts on Denver?
Did you say Carolina? The spread was
Carolina spread about 2.5? -3.5 right now.
-3.5. Yeah, I do. I agree. I like Carolina. And they're at home, so they get is it still a 3-point advantage to the home team with COVID in the era of COVID? So
it's arguable. I mean, I've heard folks talk about it on media dedicated to picking and sports lines and stuff. I don't know. I mean, it seems like when a bad team travels, when a team that doesn't have strong leadership in the coaching and strong player veteran leadership, it seems like they tend to not do as well on the road even this year, you know, versus like you put Pittsburgh on the road, you know, and Mike Tomlin's like the top coach in the league, you know what I mean? And you're not going to see, you put the Saints on the road, Sean Payton's top coach in the league, you know, it's not going to have that big of an effect on them. You put Denver on the road, and again, after everything they've been through, and there's probably some finger pointing within that organization, this just feels very, very, very good and secure for Carolina. Next game, early game as well, is going to be the Minnesota Vikings, fresh off of an overtime win versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, taking on Tampa Bay and the Tom Brady's, who are coming off of their bye week. This one here is crazy. Tampa's 6.5-point favorite. Tampa -6.5. The over-under on this game is 52. I really think this one's as intriguing, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this game. Troy, what's your thoughts on Minnesota and Tampa Toms?
So when I first looked at the schedule for this week, this game jumped out at me again as one where I like the dog, and I don't have a good reason why. Like I say, Tampa Bay is coming off a bye, so they're rested. They had a better defense. Mm-hmm. I think offensively it's kind of a push, but they lost two games before that, two close games. They lost to Kansas City, a tough game, and then the Rams. But something tells me I like the Vikes in this. But not necessarily to win, but to
cover.
To cover, yeah.
I'm with all day.
And I want that to happen too. So maybe it's emotional, but I'm Skull Vikes this week. I like Minnesota.
It's almost like I hate both of those teams equally now. You know, and Minnesota's fading, and it's hard to say who or what or how good Tampa Bay is. I'm also going to introduce a pretty exotic bet this week, and it's going to be a 13-point teaser. The book that I use offers 13-point teasers. You can typically find them various places. So, but the requirement for this 13-point teaser is you have to go at least four games. So I'm going to tease this over of 52 down to 39, and I'm going to take the over here, and I'm going to pair it with that Green Bay Detroit over of 55, first game we talked about after the Thursday night game, and tease that 55 down to 42 as well. And so I found four games this week that I feel dead set on locking, even avoiding a 13-point catastrophe. And I think these are two of them. And I would absolutely, that's going to be one of my recommendations of the week this week as well. Our first late game is going to be the Green Bay Packers versus the Detroit Lions. Green Bay travels to Detroit. Green Bay is 7.5-point favorites. I was very, very heavy on Detroit last week. I like Detroit at +3. I like Detroit on the money line. I had Detroit in teasers. I had Detroit in parlays. And guess what? Detroit outright won. They got that new coach bounce, man. They got that new coach swing. And a new coach came in and helped them light it up last week against Chicago. I thought that was almost disrespectful that Detroit, who was a good team with bad coaching, was the underdog against the Bears, and then ended up pulling it out. Now, 7.5 to Green Bay, that feels a little crazy too. I've already mentioned the over-under on this game is 55. I'm absolutely going to tease this one down 13, the over-under from 55 to 42, and take you over 42. Troy, what's your thoughts on Green Bay and Detroit?
Yeah, as much as I hate to say it, I'll let Green Bay in this.
Really?
Detroit, yeah. Detroit, like you say, they won, but they only beat Chicago. We were just trashing
Chicago a minute ago. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I would lean Detroit here. It's not something that I would that I'm going to take the 7.5 form yet, but I do feel, like I said, very, very comfortable with teasing that over-under from 55 to 42 and taking the over on a 13-point teaser accompanying Minnesota and Tampa Bay. All right. Next late game. Kansas City on the road. Actually, this is also a noon start as well. Kansas City on the road, taking on the Miami Dolphins. Kansas City is a 7-point favorite on the road against Miami. The over-under on this game is 49.5. I've taken to calling Kansas City can't cover. I think that the 7 points here to KC is a gift for Miami. Miami is not a bad football team. KC plays down the competition. KC is one of these teams that typically plays in afternoon games, traveling east to take on Miami. I am absolutely all about Miami +7 on this one. And that's definitely a pick of the pod. Troy, what's your thoughts on Kansas City and Miami?
Totally agree. Love this game, and I like the dog in this one again. A lot of dogs I like this week. This game is already going to be great, and then you add on added bonus of possibly winning some money, which is great. Kansas City has number one offense in terms of total yards, and Miami has, if not the top, the second defense in terms of points allowed. This is a great matchup.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch that game. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch that game. Like I said, Miami, I've been rolling with them this year. And I feel, it's a perfect storm in that KC doesn't cover against anybody. They just win. And Miami has been overperforming, you know. So all about that Miami +7 feels like a gift.
Yes, I agree.
Next late game is going to be the Indianapolis Colts. 3-point favorites traveling to Las Vegas to take on the Las Vegas Raiders. 51.5 is the over-under on this game. And this is also going to be one that I have a strong read on. But, Troy, first I want to hear your thoughts on Indianapolis and Las Vegas.
What was that spread again?
Spread is -3 to Indy.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I saw. I honestly was surprised when I saw this. I would have thought it would have been Las Vegas favorite.
Yeah.
Not by much, but just as the home team. I think these are pretty equal teams. Maybe Indy has the edge in defense. They still have that stout defense.
Yeah, and Vegas doesn't have a very good defense. And Vegas should have lost to the Jets this week. But Vegas has also beaten the New Orleans Saints, and they've also beaten the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's correct, yes.
They're like a snake, dude. They're hard to handle. That
and
is
Chucky,
a real...
Chucky's proven to still have it, you know, as a coach.
I'll tell you what you do here. Make it real easy. This is going to be the third part of our 13-point teaser. And we're going to, it's actually going to be a third and our fourth, in that we're going to tease Indy from -3 to +10. And we're going to tease this 51.5 down to 38.5. And we're going to cash that four-way 13-point teaser for sure. That's a lock. That's in. You heard it here. Missing a 13-point teaser is embarrassing, but it does happen from time to time. But I felt like we have a good slate of games to try that exotic bet out on this week. Next late game is going to be the New York Jets. Recently fired Greg Williams. Just all kinds of insanity. I saw where Coach Crazy Eyes was in the media, like publicly saying that they are having a hard time overcoming their loss to the Raiders last week. So the Jets are traveling to a team that's also is equally butthurt because they lost to the New York Giants last week. Seattle is 13.5-point favorites. The over-under on this game is 47. Troy, what's your thoughts on New York Jets and Seattle?
I like the over on this.
You like the over here?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Horrible defenses.
That's true. It's very true. I like around. You talked about picking dogs this week. You know, I've been on a picking dog trend outside of football with some of the other bets I've been placing, and I'm going to go ahead and carry it over here. I like the Jets plus 13.5. I will take that all day. Seattle, another team, doesn't cover against anybody. Been seeing just subpar performances out of them. Russell Wilson hasn't looked like he did early this season when he was being whispered as an MVP candidate. Jets 13.5, despite all of the insanity. Maybe they'll get some of that, like a half dose of that new coach bounce by the fact that they got rid of scum of the universe, Greg Williams, in that game, you know, as a result of last week's outcome. So I like the Jets plus 13.5 here. Next late game. Oh, God. This is garbage. We don't even have to talk about this one if you don't want to. This is Atlanta traveling to take on the LA Chargers. Atlanta is 2.5-point favorites here. Over-under on this game is 49.5. We're coming off of our second Fuck the Falcons week in 3 weeks. We had, like, two Falcons hate weeks in a three-week stretch. I'm almost all out of hate for Atlanta. Still got to, you know, we're not going to see Atlanta anymore this year. Fuck watching this game. I don't even want to. I got nothing for it. Troy, you got anything for Atlanta and Chargers?
No, I wouldn't touch it.
Fuck these guys. No. Fuck them. Not listening to it. Not talking about it. Not going to watch it. Whatever happens, happens. They, you know, I do see a lot of talk of the Chargers head coach getting fired, but I don't know, man. It's just bad. It's interesting that they haven't had any fans at the game because arguably, you know, they were having rumors that that LA doesn't even support the Chargers, so why should we? A lot of smarts got burned on the Chargers too when they took on Buffalo, and I wasn't one of those people, but you know, just not doing it. But I'll tell you what game we will talk about: our beloved New Orleans Saints go on the road to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. The Saints are 7-point road favorites. The over-under on this game is 44. And a lot of intrigue with this one. Philly has pulled the trigger on the quarterback change from Carson Wentz to Jalen Hurts. I've watched a lot of Carson Wentz the last couple weeks because I wanted to cherish him while we still have him. I don't think you're going to see much more of Carson Wentz playing the position of starting quarterback in the National Football League for the remainder of his career. Sometimes performances are amazing in just the magnitude of his ineptitude. That guy has been so enjoyable to watch him play horribly. And they finally pulled the trigger. They're bringing in Jalen Hurts. Saints minus 7, over-under on this game is 44. Troy, what do you think about what is also perhaps the final piece of this season's Taysom Hill tryout for the Saints as they go on the road to take on Philadelphia?
I feel so sorry for Jalen Hurts. They put him in against this defense. It's horrible. I saw a stat this week. It said, I hope I'm not misquoting this, but the Saints are allowing, the defense are allowing 4.2 yards per offensive play for their opposition. The worst offense in the league is the Jets, and they're averaging 4.7. So essentially, the Saints defense is forcing other teams to be worse than the Jets. And then you put in a rookie quarterback against that defense. Oh my gosh, that's horrible. I'm taking the Saints all day. Yeah.
Saints plus Saints minus seven. Yep. Okay. So again, I cannot tell you how disappointed I am that Carson Wentz is not starting. I feel like if Carson Wentz had started this game, the Saints would sack him probably 17 times. But again, that's not the case here. We're getting Jalen Hurts. Now, Jalen Hurts came in against Green Bay last week, and he provided a little bit of a spark. I believe that the Saints are going to win this game. I believe that we're going to continue to see the defense perform well. But I am going to go away from my bias of the Saints, and I'm going to take Philly plus seven. I believe that the Saints will win and not cover, even though they have been doing an outstanding job of winning and covering in the absence of Drew Brees. So
I feel like they spent, the play calling has been conservative.
It's been different. I mean, they're going to run a different. It's a different offense when, you know, when Taysom Hill is in there. And I mean, it's honestly, it's safer in some regards, except for the fact that he looks a little unconfident sometimes in passing situations. But he's, you know, he's a 30-year-old rookie or whatever when it comes to, I mean, when it comes to performing as a quarterback, impersonating a quarterback. So I don't know. I think the Saints win. I don't think the Saints cover. I got Philly plus seven. Shocker, but I mean, you can't bet with your heart. You got to bet with your brain. And if I'm wrong, guess what? Just paid myself for a Saints victory. How good does that feel? And in fact, I think you need to get in the habit of this, because I got I was talking to the Alien Federation earlier before the show started, the Intergalactic Federation. Okay. And they let me know that the Saints are going to be in the Super Bowl this year. They didn't tell me if they're going to win or not, but they did tell me that the Saints are going to be in the Super Bowl. And we're going to, I've considered the possibility that that's really going to happen this year. And I have to be prepared to place one of those heartache bets where I, you know, if the Saints make the Super Bowl, you bet against them like big. And then if the Saints win the Super Bowl, you know, you just pay for it. But if the Saints lose the Super Bowl, you have a consolation prize.
Yeah.
You got a little financial consolation. So I'm starting to decide how much a Saints loss in the Super Bowl is worth to me. Like, what'll make me feel better monetarily? And it's going to be a lot of money, you know. So I don't know. Next late game, Washington football team travels to Arizona to play the San Francisco football team. Washington football team is coming off of a shocking upset of Pittsburgh. I was one of those people that got bit by that one a little bit last week on Moneyline and a couple other places. San Francisco is 3-point favorites in the home of Arizona. And the over-under on this game is 43.5. Troy, what's your thoughts on Washington and San Francisco?
So the last podcast I was on with you, you had to remind me that Alex Smith existed.
And now he's Alex Smith, the guy that beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the Steeler Slayer.
Yeah.
What is happening here?
Comeback player of the year. In fact, he with that game, he probably beat Ben Roethlisberger for comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
It's bro. He had a flesh eating virus in his leg. He nearly died. And then he beat Pittsburgh last week. I'm noping out on this game.
I like him. I like Alex Smith. I like the rest
of you. Washington plus three.
I'm sold. Yeah. Okay. I want to be a part of the narrative. Let's get him that award, and I think they win in San Fran.
Well, in Arizona.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're playing in Arizona. You're not allowed to play football where San Francisco lives.
Ah.
Yeah. It's for your own safety. How are your COVID symptoms? You still have any?
No, I don't really have anything.
Yeah, I had I was tired for another 10 days after COVID. Like, I was sick for three or four, and then for 10, I was tired. and I'd get headaches when I got near the frozen food section at the grocery market. But now I'm just like, yeah, I got that COVID antibodies.
You got the superpower.
Yeah, I actually got in an argument with a veterinarian for my cat over this. Never mind. We shouldn't talk about that. But I've also got
I feel like there's a good story behind that.
I was like angry man who yells at clouds. Okay, so I took Uncle Baby Billy to the vet, his old vet that he's seen now for a year, for his annual, and they were like, we'll do the curbside pickup. Like, what's that mean? It means, well, we just come get your pet and we bring him in. Like, and this is all taking place in Louisiana, by the way. Now, I live in Mississippi, and can I tell you, Mississippi has got very different standards for COVID than Louisiana. And so I've kind of gotten used to Mississippi and the fact that I am of no danger to anyone else or myself with COVID at this point. It does impact how I move through the world. But they were like, we're just going to come get your cat, and then we're going to take him in, and then you can come get him when we're ready, but you can't come in. And I was like, well, good news, I've already had COVID, so I'm of no danger to anyone. And like, I cannot give it, I cannot get it, I cannot carry it for like another 5.5 months, you know? So it shouldn't be a big deal for me to come in and be present with Uncle Baby Billy while he gets a thermometer stuck up his ass, you know, yeah. and
for shots comfort, him. Yeah.
Right. And you want to ask the veterinarian questions about the health of your pet during his annual visit. So they're like, yeah, we're not doing that. And I was like, all right, well, put the vet on the phone, please. Can I talk to the vet? Because he's a doctor. If anyone should understand science, it's a doctor, right? And he's like, no, we got government regulations. I'm like, dude, I'm about to go. Like, the next place I'm going is my barber, and I'm going to sit in a barber chair. So I know that you can have people. He's like, yeah. The safety of my staff. I'm like, dude, I understand safety of your staff. The good news is I'm of no danger to your staff. And then he's like, well, but what if other people in the parking lot see you come in? I'm like, there's nobody here right now. I'm coming right now. Nobody's here. The coast is clear. He's like, well, I don't want to be asking people about their medical history or taking their word for it. And I said, actually, I've thought of that too. I have my papers. I have all of my like COVID papers from the doctor, you know, and it's all dated when I went and all that. And I'm voluntarily giving you this information. And he's like, nah, just, I can't, I don't want to do it. And I was like, well, you know, and then he wanted to talk for like another 10 minutes. And I was like, you know, by the time we got off the phone, I was already back in Mississippi. And 30 minutes later, had an appointment at the vet in Mississippi, and I held the cat while he got his shots with that doctor.
Oh, so they treat cats in Mississippi at the vet in Mississippi? I would think if you bring a cat to a vet in Mississippi, like, what you bringing it for? You
know, bro, they groom.
If it dies,
they,
you just get another one from the barn. Or
they groom cats. They groom cats in Mississippi. I took him to the groomer. Yeah, I took him to the groomer out here. It's like a locals, small business, you know, husband and wife and daughter, and they groom pets. And like the regular groomer out here that have some family that uses won't do cats, but they recommended these folks because they will do cats. And so I brought them out here and had them groomed out here. And it's like I went from supporting PetSmart to supporting a mom and pop, and they were awesome, awesome people. And they gave them a badass haircut. And yeah, dude, they do cat, all kinds of cat services out here in Mississippi. You can even adopt cats in Mississippi from the pound. They'll let you take the cats home if you want. Pittsburgh is going to be on Sunday Night Football, coming off a loss against Washington, and they're taking on Buffalo, traveling to Buffalo, the short trip from Pittsburgh to Buffalo. Sunday Night Football, Buffalo is 2.5-point favorites. The over-under on this game is 46.5. Bro, Buffalo, it feels like, had their big party. They're letting the world know that they're back on Monday Night Football. Even though I didn't watch a whole lot of the game, I did see a lot of what was happening. And it's basically your boy at quarterback saying, hey, I'm here. I'm throwing it like Mahomes. I like Baltimore minus 2.5. I like Baltimore money line. I'm sorry, not Baltimore, Buffalo. I like Buffalo minus 2.5. I like Buffalo money line. I'm all about Buffalo beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, because the Steelers, just basically watching them against Washington the other night, their offense just consists of, especially with James Conner out, Ben Roethlisberger just chucking the ball down the field to his receivers and hoping for what's best. And lately his receiver's been dropping the ball a lot. So I feel extremely comfortable with Buffalo at a number that's less than 3, and extremely confident with Buffalo at a money line. Troy, what are your thoughts on Pittsburgh-Buffalo Sunday Night Football?
So is Connor out again this week?
So far, yeah.
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 Yeah. This one stood out at first as a dog. I like Buffalo as well, but Pittsburgh still has a good defense, and defense travels well, especially it's at Buffalo, right? So.
Yeah, it's in Buffalo.
In the cold. I think I would stay away from this one, but okay. I definitely want to watch it. Yeah, this is a Sunday night game, right?
That's a Sunday night game, a good Sunday night game. Should be a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
Monday Night Football, we've got Baltimore minus 1 traveling to Cleveland. The Browns are coming off of a big victory versus Tennessee. They looked gangbusters in the first half. They didn't look quite as good in the second half, as I've alluded to earlier. At Cleveland, 1-point favorite Baltimore. Over-under is 45.5. Troy, what you got for Baltimore-Cleveland?
What was the spread again? I'm sorry.
It's 1 point.
1 point, so basically almost a push. Yeah, this one's tough. At Cleveland, I got to go Cleveland. They won 4 straight. They're good.
Baltimore hasn't been looking too well lately. They got it back against the Cowboys.
You're right, but it's the Cowboys.
It's the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's the Cowboys, you know.
Have teams figured out Lamar?
I don't know what it is, but I think that's part of it. You know, he's still slight of frame, smallish quarterbacks that take hits and run a lot. Just they have a lifespan that's shorter than the average NFL quarterback's career span. I mean, dude, it's almost like I know I'm setting myself up for failure here, but I'm Cleveland money line all day on this game. Monday Night Football in Cleveland. The stadium's going to be the stadium's not going to be rocking. This is where, you know, God, can you imagine how big a home field? They'd have been partying in Cleveland in anticipation of this game. I still like Cleveland money line. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on Cleveland money line there. And so just to clarify, my official picks of the pod this week, Cleveland money line, Buffalo, I like them at minus 2.5. And of course, you can also go money line there as well. I like Philly against our beloved Saints, Philly plus 7 there. I am all about taking the Jets in the 13.5 points against Seattle. I'm all about teasing Indy from minus 3 to plus 10 and doing the same with the over from 51 to 38.5. I'm all about Miami plus 7. I'm all about teasing the over on Minnesota-Tampa Bay from 52 down to 39. I've got a two-way teaser with teasing the Giants to plus 8.5, a six-point teaser there. Pairing that in a two-way six-point teaser, also teasing Carolina from 3.5 on up 6 points there. And then I also like completing that 13-point four-way teaser by teasing the Green Bay-Detroit from 55 down to 32. Four-way 13-point teaser, two-way 6-point teaser, Miami plus 7, take the over on Houston-Chicago, Philly plus 7 against the Saints, Buffalo minus 2.5 in money line, Cleveland money line, Jets 13.5. I feel good. You brought me luck last time you were on here, man. It was 9-2 was the record that week, coming off of a 5-1 week last week where I hit a lot of teasers and a lot of parlays that I didn't even bring up on the show. But I like bringing those bets out on Twitter. So you can follow me on Twitter at Taking the Over if you're interested. Dude, I had a 3-0 record on Major League Soccer playoffs until the debacle of Monday night. But I'll take that. I've been picking Goff. I've been picking everything. We're picking aliens. We're picking when the alien announcement of their presence is going to take place. We both agree that aliens exist. We both think it's not as plausible that the aliens politely asked President Trump not to mention their existence so as not to alarm the world, and Trump complied. You've got aliens being announced in the next 40 years as a plus 550 underdog. I've got it as a slight minus 130 favorite. Troy, do you have any other thoughts or anything that you want to make sure that we get in this week? I know we talked about UFC a little bit. Any interest in the fights this week? Holloway really all day. I'll start with Max Holloway, and I'm going to say that I like Max Holloway. Let me pull up the odds on Max Holloway as you tell us a little bit about the championship fight.
So it's Figueiredo. I've only seen him fight once, but what I'm really looking forward to is the co-main, Tony Ferguson, maybe my favorite fighter. He's so much fun.
I said Max Holloway four times, and I meant Tony Ferguson. So you'll have to forgive me. I've been eating gumbo tonight. Tony Ferguson, Tony Ferguson, Tony Ferguson.
There you go. No, so his opponent, Oliveira, I think. Yeah, Charles Oliveira.
Charles Oliveira.
He was supposed to fight back in October. He dropped out for unknown reasons. Like, I don't think the UFC ever disclosed why. And of course, Ferguson lost that heartbreaking fight against Justin Gaethje. He just, like, he had the heart of Rocky and just hung in there for way too long. And I think it was stopped in the last round. But I really like Tony Ferguson in that. And I took a look at the money lines, a couple of them, and they're around the low 150 range. So I think Vegas is expecting a closer match.
Yeah, the Mourinho versus Figueiredo main event, Mourinho is a plus 250 underdog, and Figueiredo is a minus 335 favorite. Oliveira versus Ferguson. Oliveira is plus 140. Ferguson's minus 175. One thing that I do sometimes or often with these UFC fights is look for value. I don't see the value. I mean, I love Tony Ferguson, but I don't see the value in going with him there. They're also predicting that fight to go over. The over-under on that one set at 2.5 as far as how far the fight goes. So it sounds like that might be a five-round fight, which would be cool. In the co-main position, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's an intriguing bet. Two and a half.
I've had success with that one. I've had success with that one in the ladies' fights. Junior Dos Santos is a plus 320 underdog versus Cyril Gane. Wow, Gane is minus 465.
Yes. he's a beast. Fun to
take a flyer on. Beast. You just think he's going to run through Dos Santos?
No, I don't think it's going to be that easy for him.
Okay, Vegas does. Cub Swanson is fighting in this fight. Oh, my God. Cub Swanson, plus 130. Daniel Pineda. Remember when Cub Swanson got his face split in half within like 10 seconds years ago when he fought Jose Aldo? Just to give you, dude, that was probably 10 years ago. And then poor Cub Swanson will never outrun that memory in my mind. Jacare Souza is fighting on the undercard against Kevin Holland. And that one's, both fighters are minus 115. That one's exciting as well. Yeah, this will be a fun one. I'll have to check it out. Like I said, I show pretty good discipline in laying off of UFC fights if I don't have that strong of a read. And this would probably be, I might take this card off. I don't know. I wanted to bet Ferguson, who I also confused with Holloway. But minus 175 makes that less interesting to me, you know, because I can see a war with these guys. I can really see a war between those two. It's going to be high on the entertainment index and low on the gambling index for me. And so that's the UFC. Also picked Victor Hovland to win his second PGA event going into Sunday morning. He was like a plus 265 underdog. He was like three shots back off the lead. He came back and won as I thought he would. And like I said, I like to throw him out on different stuff when I get it. Troy, you got any other thoughts for us, man?
Now, one more in that fight on the undercard, Mackenzie Dern. She's just lovely Brazilian angel and a beast at jiu-jitsu. It's like a former number one no-gi champion, world champion. Do you see a money line for her?
Well,
it might be interesting.
Feel like something about that fight feels like it might have been a COVID casualty.
Really?
It's definitely not offered. No, it is. It is, in fact, and Mackenzie Dern is -195. Her opponent, Virna Jandaroba, is a +155 dog. And that one, they over-under is 2.5 rounds in a 3-round fight. And that's -110 if you go with the under 2.5 rounds, and it's -140 if you go with the over 2.5 rounds. So they're leaning that fight's going to go to a decision. Man, I'm probably just going to sit back and enjoy watching Mackenzie Dern compete.
That's right.
You know, as I like to. I tell you what, I tell you who I wish would step into a cage. Are you familiar with Kay Adams?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God. Kay Adams. Kay Adams, dude. I love Kay Adams. I love what she represents.
Trying
to get her on the show. Yeah, I don't. Right, and she's a Saints ally. She's a Saints fan. Kay Adams. She's so knowledgeable. She's so smart. Just want to talk football, Kay Adams, one day, maybe.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we go, update on the Bobby Hebert chicken wing gate is still unresolved. We've had no communications with the Hebert camp. So that's still out there. We'd like to have communications with the Hebert camp. We would like to resolve Chicken Wing Gate, or Chicken Gate Wing, as it's been called as well. I don't know. You got anything else, Troy?
No, I don't have anything. I really appreciate you having me back.
Well, dude, I want to thank you for coming on. I'm glad that you're no longer homeless. You got back into your hurricane-damaged home, and all is well with the universe. We're going to enjoy some UFC this weekend. We're going to enjoy some NFL this weekend, enjoy some Saints victory. And we're going to see you guys on the other side. Later. I'd do anything just to make you happy. Hear you tell me that you're proud of me. For them, I'll kill anything. Cut the throats of babies for them. Break their hearts for they were them. Make